Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of the Discipleship Foundations series. This is chapter 11 entitled, I Reckon. I want to begin by reading Romans 6:11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's from the New King James Version. If you come from Texas or the Deep South, you might use the word reckon in your normal conversation, such as, I reckon you're right. This use of the word is about the same as suppose. The King James Version of the Bible also uses the word reckon, but in a much different way. In the above verse, reckon is the equivalent of consider it true or done. This type of reckoning is very important if we are to grow as a Christian. Faith is the God-given ability to take God at His word. Faith is not something we generate from within ourselves or something innate in everyone. When Adam sinned, we all died spiritually, and the human heart lost its connection to God. We died to spiritual things. God had to revive us on the inside for us to be able to live again. Paul put it very clearly in his letter to the Ephesians. I read, God saved you by His special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. That's Ephesians 2:8, the New Living Translation. Jesus is called the author and the finisher, or initiator and completer of our faith. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the New American Standard Bible. Faith is a work of grace from start to finish. The indwelling Holy Spirit is God's agent of grace. He is the one who develops faith inside us. He is called the Spirit of Faith in 1 Corinthians 12:9 and 2 Corinthians 4:13. He is the one who lives out the Christ life from inside us. When we trust in God, it is the Spirit trusting in and through us. When we worship the Father, we do so in cooperation with the Spirit. Galatians 4:6 says this beautifully. I read, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. New American Standard Bible. Because we have been joined or united to the Holy Spirit through the new birth, it is next to impossible for us to differentiate between God's Spirit and ours in these matters. A couple of verses for you here is 1 Corinthians 6:17, but the person who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him, New Living Translation. And the other verse, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. New American Standard Bible. Faith is the ability to accept God's promises as being true just because God said. Faith enables us to consider that His promises are a done deal even before we see or receive what was promised. Faith reckons that what God has said is true. Hebrews 11:1 says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. That's the New Living Translation. Now, why is this so important? Remember that salvation begins in the spirit, on the inside, and over time works its way into our thoughts, motives, and behavior, as yeast works its way through a lump of dough. Matthew 13:33. If we think that our spiritual growth depends on how hard we work at it, we will always be unsettled. But if we trust completely in what the Bible says, that our new life is a gift of grace from start to finish, we will be steadfast in our faith. Philippians 1:6 reads, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." That's the New Living Translation. By God's grace, our thinking and behavior will sooner or later catch up to God's promises that we believe. This is a crucial principle for spiritual growth. Here is an example of how this works. Going back to our opening scripture verse, the Bible says that we are dead to sin. How many of us feel dead to sin? I would venture to say that none of us do. Are we dead to sin or not? If we only consider that we are dead to sin when we feel like it, we will never agree with what God says is true. We will not be operating in faith. If, however, we take God at his word and reckon that we are indeed dead to sin, despite what we feel or how we have recently acted, we will be living by faith. Not only that, what we believe will be the truth. What difference does this make? Practically speaking, it makes a lot of difference. After sinning, which we all do, we will either be cast down and discouraged because we failed again, or relatively upbeat and encouraged because we realize a temporary setback is just that. Which way of thinking will lead to which outcome? Now, I am not suggesting that we be careless when it comes to sin, but if we get discouraged because we sin, we will be discouraged a great deal of the time. If we can stay encouraged, even at our worst, trusting that no matter how we have behaved, we are indeed dead to sin and it shall not be able to dominate us, we will avoid one of the greatest deceptions of the enemy, the power of condemnation. Condemnation robs us of our joy and peace. It puts us into Judas mode. After betraying Jesus, he felt so hopeless and worthless that he committed suicide. Peter, on the other hand, also betrayed the Lord. But he had hope that he would be forgiven and kept on going. He eventually was fully restored. Unless we conquer lying condemnation, we are likely to despair of there being any hope for us and give up. We might even wonder if we are really God's children at all. Jesus took our condemnation upon himself on the cross. When we were made right with God through faith, God the Father declared that we are not guilty in the court of heaven. We were once for all delivered from the power of the law to condemn us. John 5:24 says, these are the words of Jesus, "I assure you, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life, and they will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." New Living Translation. God justifies us and Christ died and intercedes for us. No one of any rank is left to condemn us. Condemnation is usually the result of a lack of understanding of what Christ has accomplished, and it is a killer of faith. Paul lists it as the number one enemy to conquer before a person can learn to walk in the Spirit. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Now, the question we must ask ourselves is this. Is what I have just read true? I reckon it is, and so should we all.